Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on the magnificent WBAI. 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. How wonderful. Another call from South America today, an email from South America saying, we listen to you in Buenos Aires, you know, and just people who tune into this program and to this station, and it means so much to them. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad we can make a difference in this world. So let's talk about one of the questions that are really arising, you know, leadership. Today I want to talk about leadership with no particular target in mind, but about leadership and the qualities of leadership and what is leadership about and what does it mean, you know? Is there a leadership quality that we admire? What kind of leader do you want in your life? You know, it's politically incorrect to call somebody a leader nowadays. You can't use the word boss. They use supervisor. You can't use the word leader, really, because it kind of means they have a higher status than you. People want to diffuse it. There are some corporations like Amex where the word is just like they do everything to get out of the way of saying this person has a higher position than you do. They don't want you to see it. Now, why don't they want you to see it? Why did they want you to see this person as your respected other or something? And they give you all kinds of words for it. Why? Because leaders become targets. Because leaders engender feelings that people bring with them that may not have to do with the leader themselves. So the idea is, let's not get you stuck on the fact that this person has more power than you. But let's talk about power. Who has a power position in your life? Does anybody have a power position in your life? And I have another question. In whose life do you have power? Now, what are the qualities that you expect or hope to have in a person who has power in your life? Let's say you have a boss, and we call it your supervisor, we call it whatever it is, but they pay your salary. What qualities do you want them to have? You might say you want them to be fair. You may want them to be predictable. You may want them to be understanding, even forgiving if you show up late, and supportive of you and some of the difficulties you might have. Those are the things you would like to see. Do you want them to be open and sharing and friendly? Do you want them to be like your buddy? And if you tell them something like your future intention to quit as soon as you log enough time to collect unemployment, do you want them to be not fazed by it? So that's what happens to a lot of people. They kind of see these bosses and they react to it. And there are these different power positions that people have. Now, what are the power positions you've been exposed to in your life? Well, certainly most of you had a parent, and if not a surrogate parent, that's a power position, right? Parent has the absolute right to tell you what to do and how to do it and where to walk and where not to walk. Their job is to protect you or do what they think is protecting you in early life. How about your teacher when you go to school as a kid? You know, that teacher has the right to tell you to sit still, to study, to do things. Teachers are given power by parents. The parent assigns a teacher the power by putting the child in the school. Now, I know people, the people that I work with, when they have trouble with some of the things that the teachers of their children do, right? She'll go confront the teacher right away. She'll go say, wait a minute, what are you doing? She's an active part of the teaching experience for her child. Many people just turn it over and say, you're the teacher, I'm no longer involved. Who else has power? How about your doctor or your trainer or your therapist or your landlord. You know, these are interesting people because you hire them, because you pay their salary. You pay them to be your authority. So now, who's in power here? Nowadays, nobody likes to lose a client. You know, you try quitting a therapist, you try quitting somebody, you try telling a doctor you're not coming back, and they have reactions to it because they're losing business. It's what reminds you that you're hiring them. Your landlords are so afraid to lose you nowadays, unless you have some kind of a real bargain low rent or something. Who else has power in your life? The IRS has power. How does the IRS have power? Because you choose to work and because there are rules about working that say you have to turn over your money. Give a percentage of your money to us if you're going to work. They have power, and you give them the power by saying, I accept these rules. I am going to work. If I work, I must turn over money. You accept the rules of the IRS. So there are people, like we said, that you give authority to, and there are people who have authority. What do you do as a leader yourself? What kind of leader are you in this world? Now, there are many people who see themselves as leaders, and then there are many people who have this fear of being a leader. There are many people who cannot perceive themselves that way under any circumstances. You ask them and you say, are you a leader anywhere? And they say, no, I just don't lead. But then if you listen to them up close, you hear there are so many different places where they do guidance with people, you know, guidance with children, guidance with clients, where they do have these leadership qualities. And I want to talk about these leadership qualities. Some of the leadership qualities that people have come out of the fact that they grew up in a family, especially where they're the older son or the older daughter. When you're the oldest child, you know, this terrible thing happens to you. At first, you remember you're the only child. And you got mommy and daddy loving you, and you are there. You have them exclusively. They care for you. You have a right to their access to them. Then come along these other kids, and you get angry. You don't know you get angry, but you get angry. You get angry at these new kids who are coming along, and you got to share your parents. So what do? You become a surrogate parent, and your parents help you do it. They tell you to not have you be so jealous. They say, oh, you're like the little daddy, or you're like the little mommy. You got to take care of your brother or sister. So parents who don't want to deal with the resentment of a child who loses his position as the only child frequently have that child become parent to the younger children. What a mixture of feelings that is. Right? You're an older parent. You're an older child, sibling. You have three kids following you. You now are the authority because your family gives you the authority. Your parents like this. You keep your brother in order, you know? It's a very hard thing to do. So, what are the ways that the average older child does it with younger children? Well, they use all the bad stuff. They use physical threats, emotional threats, abandonment. You don't do it, and I won't talk to you. Right? They do punishment, take their toys away. You use guilt. Look at what you're doing to make mommy unhappy. They use persuasion, cajoling you. They use manipulation. They might tell you that your other brother is doing it, and why don't you do it? These are the methods, the kind of not-so-good methods, that as an older child you very often employ, because you're just a kid playing grown-up. What do we expect of you? You're just a child. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. Many children are given this role of being the authority when they're like 5, 6. So how are they supposed to know what to do? So they make it up. And usually they make it up having the only tools they have, which is physical power, threats, things that they've seen other people use, things that they've seen their parents use as power tools with each other. So when you get in caught in that and you become that kind of a person, and you become somebody who's at the mercy of that kind of a person, a younger child, what do you think it's like growing up and seeing people who have this kind of use of their force? Your older siblings. Well, sometimes, every time you meet anybody who looks like them, smells like them, or sounds like them, you rebel. It just makes sense. You didn't like it when you were little, you don't like it when you grow up. Older children, children who are the firstborn, are very good employees to people who own a company. They're very good managers. They're very good at the top of the heap because they don't resent their parents. But they have trouble with the children. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the other employees. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls later today, talking about your experience of your own ability to lead. What makes a great leader? These are some important questions. First of all, if you're a leader, you have a kind of a firm, vivid picture of where you want to go and where you would like people to go with you. You have a kind of a firm grasp on what the success of your picture would be. So let's say you're the leader of a singing group, okay? You have a good idea of where you want to go. We want to be successful. You have another idea of what it looks like when you get there. You see yourself on stage. You see yourself performing. You have a picture of the end result. If you want to be a leader, you don't step up and say, "I'll lead." And everybody says, "Where are we going?" And you say, "I don't know." That's not a leader. I mean, that is a leader. But that's kind of what we call a laissez-faire leader. It's not like a leader. A good leader has to have discipline to work to their vision without getting thrown off track. That's a very difficult thing. So people who are usually very thrown off track, like sevens in the Enneagram, people who have many interests, people who don't complete things, very, very difficult to lead. They can lead to a point, and then as soon as it gets tough, they just drop it. Right? Now, integrity is a very good common quality of a leader, if you could find it. But what is integrity? Integrity is the integration of outward actions and inner values. Think about yourself. Do your outward behaviors match your inner values? That's integrity. A person of integrity is the same on the outside as they are on the inside. Now, these become qualities of leadership that become excellent in a person. Predictable reactions. It's okay to be able to predict reactions. Dedication of energy is another role of leadership. Do you dedicate your energy, or do you say, "Oh, it's 5 o'clock, I have to go home. I have a class to take." Let's say you're an office manager, and you are running this office, and your employee doesn't show up. You know what an office manager does when the employee doesn't show up? They work. They cover the phones. They do anything necessary because they're in charge. Leadership is, I will pick it up wherever I have to pick it up, and I'm going to demonstrate to you how well and how easily I am ready to take responsibility, because I want to hope that you'll take responsibility too. Magnanimity is another quality of leadership. Magnanimity, you got it? I know you do. That's the ability to give credit where credit is due. You see, when a magnanimous leader ensures that credit for success is spread as much as possible, but also attributed to where it belongs. You're not a magnanimous leader when you take credit for somebody else's work. Great leaders also have humility. And it's very funny to see. I saw Lee Iacocca once in person. And, you know, he was a great leader of, great is a big word, but he was a leader of General Motors or someplace like that. He was doing all kinds of weird stuff. But when Lee Iacocca moved through his place, he had a silent power. He was a humble man. And his humility is what got through to people. It's part of what his secret of his power was. Openness is another quality for leaders. It's very difficult when you have a shut mind. If you have a shut mind and you're a leader, you could easily reproduce the sticks that you're making. Let's say you make toothbrushes and all you ever do is make toothbrushes. Well, you could be a leader who just makes toothbrushes. But you're a leader for a certain point until somebody invents a new bristle for your toothbrushes. And then you say, no, 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 we don't use those. We only use these kind of bristles. Well, it kind of swallows you up if you're not paying attention and not flexible and not open. A true leader is open to innovation. They never get stuck with their ideas. And a true leader is also creative. Creative in the ability to think differently, to go outside the box that constrains solutions. If you often think there's a convenient, easy way to take, and then you try to think of a way, well, maybe let me try to think of this a different way. Great leaders have this creativity as well. Assertiveness becomes a real question. You know, assertiveness is not the same as aggressiveness. Rather, is the ability to clearly state what one expects so that there'll be no misunderstandings. That's what assertiveness is. Saying what you mean so that there's no misunderstanding. Being assertive is something that is very difficult for people because people who don't like getting angry have difficulty being assertive. People who are afraid of their own aggression, they have difficulty being assertive because they're linked somewhere in the brain. The part of you that makes you become assertive is linked to the part of you that makes you become aggressive. But as adults, we learn to separate the two. We learn to use our power where we want to use our power, as opposed to using our power aggressively. The very part of you that would be aggressive, an aggressive kid, can become an assertive leader without punishing, without hurting. So learning to be at peace with your assertiveness and learning how to assert yourself becomes a very important quality for leadership. Many leaders have difficulty striking the right amount of assertiveness because they don't know how to do it. And it seems that, according to a couple of the studies that I've seen, that being under-assertive or over-assertive is the most common weakness to aspiring leaders. Fairness. There's a quality. That's such a hard quality because I remember this well. I remember once I worked at the Rehabilitation Institute in Mineola. Here I am working with people who were diagnosed with schizophrenia and other mental disorders, really difficult. And they were placed in a workshop where they were learning to do some kind of job that they could eventually get and work in industry. A lot of it may be, it could be some real simple job, but these people were getting training. There was a thing called OVR, which was the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, who would fund these people so they would get their ability to go do this work. They would do electronics. They would do something. They would go to work on a conveyor line. Whatever it was, they wanted to be employed. And they were trying to get employed, even though they had very strong mental challenges. Well, once in a while, something about some way that they were treated, like if they showed up a half hour late, they may not be allowed in the program. They wouldn't be allowed to take their position. They were told, if you're a half hour late, you cannot come in. This is unfair because some of them got delayed by the bus. So that wasn't fair. And there I was in this position as being a middle management position because I was a therapist and I was helping people talk about their feelings. And I would look at it and I'd say, this doesn't work. This is no good. How could you do this to this person? Look, they're the victim. And the answer from the people who owned the place said, we can't run it any other way. We need one rule. We can't consider every exception to the rule. So when you're a leader, one of the things you do is you consider what's above you and what's underneath you as well. And you consider not just fairness, but you consider what works to keep this organization going. Very often, people just take one way or another. I'm going to work for the people. I'm going to work for the employer, you know, and you're just one way or another. Either if you're a leader of people who work under you, sometimes you just kind of push them off. It's somewhere in the middle that you've got to be. But you have to make people understand, and somehow a leader conveys, my job is to keep this place going. And I, as a leader, need to keep this going. And I can't pay attention to just one claim, because there are 1,000 claims, there are 1,000 things going on that are going to engender your reactions. I understand completely. So leaders are very difficult. It's very difficult to be a leader when you have people who are just saying, pay attention to me, pay attention to me. It's a very, very difficult thing, very difficult. And you're hired to kind of keep everything in balance. Very difficult task. My respect for the people who try to do it. But what really works for leaders is a sense of humor. If you don't have a sense of humor about what you're doing, if you don't have a sense of humor about yourself, about your reactions, about what looks to be so important, then you're sunk. Because if you take it all seriously, very, very seriously, and you don't have the sense of humor, you don't have much further to go. You don't have any place. You don't have any way out. There are a few different leadership styles that I want to mention to you. One is called the laissez-faire leadership style. This is a hands-off view that tends to minimize the amount of direction given. These are the people who walk in and they say, I am in a supervisory position. I am the head of this department. I am the head of this, but I do nothing. You guys do everything. That's called the hands-off approach. That, as you can imagine, runs into troubles because people want some guidance. There's the autocratic leadership style, and it's falling out of favor in many countries. This is the one where the person says, do as I say, and that's all I want. That's it. That's my leadership style. I have no questions. And there's the participative leadership style. Now, it's hard to order and demand someone to be creative, to perform as a team, to solve complex problems, to improve quality, and provide outstanding customer service. This type of person is trying to find a happy medium between doing servicing, instructing, and at the same time finding a balance. So all of these are different leadership styles that have been in challenge recently, and people are trying to learn. So we're going to take your calls. And now what I'm going to take your calls about is not, I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about you. What is your leadership style? Now do me a favor. I know how easy it would be to use this as some way to try to make political statements. That's not what I want. I want people on the air who want to learn about themselves. I want people calling in today who are asking themselves the great question, who am I and what stops me from assuming my role as a leader? Yavis. I like Yavis. Yavis is young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, and successful. Yavis. The Yavis syndrome is there's a lot of you out there who are Yavis. Many of you may be Mavis. Mature, attractive, verbal. Maybe you're not so attractive. Maybe you're not so verbal. Maybe you're not so intelligent. Maybe you're not successful. You could leave off one via the other. I guess if you're retired, you would be a Yavix as an X. So, but what's important about Yavis? Here's what's important about Yavis. There are a number of people walking around this planet who are the young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, successful. And by attractive, I don't mean pretty. I mean attractive. I mean you attract. I mean you have dancing eyes. It means that people are attracted to you. In some way, it means that people find you a nice person. You, my friends, are the leaders of the world. You are given these gifts. You were given these gifts in some way so that you could participate in the development of our world, you know, of where we're going. It is not that they took everybody and said, we'll give you all monkey brains, or we'll make you all lizard people, right? They said, no, we're going to take some of you, and we're going to give you the ability through transcendence, through genetics, through some other learning, we're going to give you the ability to change everything by you doing it differently. Yes, if your child disobeys, you could smack him on the butt like all your parents did before you. You could punish him. You could lock him in the shed. Or you could talk to him. You could develop one of these newfangled techniques called communication. You could try something different. To all of you out there who I find and I meet all the time, who are just these Yavis people, these people who have this talent. You have the ability to communicate. You have the ability to talk. You have the ability to connect with people. You are the leaders. And it is people like you, not the angry people finding fault with everybody else. It's people like you who are going to make the difference on this planet. I need you to step up to your own leadership. I need your integrity to form. I need the outside of you to match the inside of you. But if the inside of you is negative, don't have the outside of you match it. Find a way of fixing that balance. Because what we're looking for in this world and what we need is to have more and more people stepping up, being kind, and being a leader for the people who are lost. There are so many lost people out there. So we're going to be taking your calls at 212-209-2900 in a couple of minutes. This is Armand DeMille. I want to also talk to you. When I come back, I'll be talking to you. Well, let's just grab a minute and talk about it. What are the qualities of a promising person like you? What are the qualities I'm looking for? I'm looking for your leadership in the past. I'm looking to identify where it was you led and you became a leader in the past. I want to remind you about it, and I want to learn how you were during that time. I want to find inside you the ability who doesn't feel stuck, but has creative ideas and different ways of doing things. Practical ideas. I want to find in you your ability to complete something. I don't care what it is. If it's a video game, can you complete it? I want to tap into your ability to complete things. You know, brainstorming is not such a good idea when you're a leader, because brainstorming doesn't necessarily go. Not everybody has practical ideas as a leader. The leader has the practical in mind. I also want to find the quality of being willing to take responsibility. You know, to take the responsibility for whatever's going to happen. And these are all some of the qualities that I think. Mental toughness is also important. Can you survive a disappointment? But peer respect is very important, too. Do people like you? If people don't like you, it's very hard to lead. You have to somehow get along with people. And one of the qualities that I found is very important is called family respect. Does your family respect you? I found that some of the best leaders in the world are people who have garnered their family's respect. They have a feeling towards you as being, you are an important person. And if you don't have that, it's very hard to take that quality out to the rest of the world. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Hey, I talked enough. We're going to take your calls at 212-209-2900 after we take our break and maybe a little dance music. So I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes.
You. tiene las dos. Pao, 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 pao. Tiene la culucucuta.
La 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 la. Pao, 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 pao.
La culucucuta.
La 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 la. Pao, pao. Cuéntame qué te pasó. Cuéntame qué te pasó. Cuéntame qué te pasó. Cuéntame qué te pasó.
That's Pepe doing Cuéntame qué te pasó. What happened to me? What happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? Hey, it was a long battle, wasn't it? You're getting through life. You're struggling hard. Many of you are struggling very hard. It takes a hard time. Then we get to this question. You know, you've gotten through this far. If you're a WBAR listener and you have gotten this far and you've listened to The Positive Mind, you are a leader. As far as I'm concerned, you must be a leader. And as a leader, you're not angry. Yes, there are angry leaders out there all the time, but they're not leaders. What they are is they're kind of creating a war. Yet, on the other hand, you don't have to be liked. It's nice to be liked, but as a leader, it cannot be the controlling factor. And lastly, one of the things that happened to all of us as leaders is we all have a destructive weakness. There is some drive, compulsion, something inside us that's going to throw us all off kilter. And we all have to fight our own. It's our own demons. And every leader that I know has got some demon that they make war with. But hopefully they become conscious of it so that when they have it, they could at least know that they've got it and they don't act it out through their leadership. 212-209-2900. Let's talk about you and your experience with your own leadership qualities. This is Armand DeMille. Hello, you're on WBAI.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
My name is Felicia.
Felicia.
I love your show.
Thank you, Felicia.
One thing that really touched me was...
Could you speak a little louder, Felicia?
Sure. As you were speaking, I was just going through a series of videos of Obama on the Huffington Post. I thought that was quite apropos that you were talking about. In addition, I was reflecting about myself. And I think I'm a leader.
Hey, Felicia, before you go just a step further, I want you to tell me the following, because maybe we could do something great here. Are you speaking on a phone that you're walking around the house with, or is it a line that's kind of linked? Because your voice is fading in and out a little bit.
I'm on my cell phone. I'll take it off my earpiece.
That's it. See? The old earpiece thing doesn't work as well. We get the intimacy of a direct voice. Are you there?
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think the one thing that you hit me the most was, I do believe I'm a leader. I think I've worked very hard to be known as someone that has potential and that has something to say. And the absolute part that you touched on was mental toughness.
Yeah, is that something that... Well, let me talk to this a little bit with you first, okay? Not only mental toughness, but you don't like to get too close to people.
That's very true.
I know that. How do I know that?
I don't know.
You talk. When you first talked to me, you used your extension even to talk to me. Yet you didn't want to go directly to the cell phone. And I said, here's somebody who likes to talk on the extension. Here's somebody who does this. Because you're not making the direct contact. Because there's something about the direct contact that's not as appealing. Even though you think everybody should use these when they talk on the phone, there is something about being aware of the intimacy of this direct contact that's not very comfortable with you. So you are a leader and known as a leader, but you don't like to get up too close to people.
I think that's true.
You don't think that's true?
I think that's very true.
Oh, you think it is true? So now, what is it about getting too close to people that bothers you? Do you think that, do they hurt you?
I think it's just my awkwardness.
You're afraid that they're going to judge you and see your awkwardness?
I think so. My awkwardness, my, interesting.
It is an interesting question, isn't it? Good, and I'm glad you're asking yourself the question. So here you are, somebody who has all these qualities of a leadership, but is a little shy to get intimate with people. So here you have this huge gift to give, but you give it from outside the store. You know what I mean?
I do. It's almost like the company that I created. I sort of want the world to know my company, but it seems like I'm holding it back at the same time.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So something happened to you when you were little that proved to you that letting yourself depend on your parents wasn't such a good idea, right?
Oh yeah.
You figured it out. You said, I'm not going to depend on anybody. I'll just keep at my distance.
That's very true.
So that wound is still carrying you around.
Yeah.
But you got plenty of time, Felicia, you know? I mean, it's just, you're just in your first few years. You know, somewhere down the line, this is all going to melt away. And you're going to feel safer with people, and you won't necessarily feel like you have to keep yourself back from your parents anymore.
Hmm. But it just keeps you, I think that's my motivating factor, just knowing that I have to do this on my own, or I just have to keep doing it if it doesn't get done.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is if you become a leader and you become safe in being a leader, you're not on your own anymore. But of course, your idea is you have to do it on your own. Yeah. And maybe you don't. Maybe there are people out there who would work with you, who would be with you around this issue.
Interesting.
It is interesting, and I want to thank you for calling in, Felicia.
Thank you, Omar.
Sure, my pleasure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand. See, there's one of those brave folks who asked the question. And you notice how she didn't get defensive. Notice she didn't say, oh, no. She was really willing and open. So therefore, Felicia has a great chance of becoming one of our leaders. She has a great opportunity to just get to the point where she gives in such a way that we all benefit. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, sir.
Hi,
John Mason. How you doing?
Good. What's your name?
John Mason.
Hello, John Mason.
I met with you yesterday.
Yep.
And now I had the cojones to get on the call for you.
Good for you, John.
You were just talking about leadership, and you reminded me of when I was going to college, and I used to, run in with a crowd of folks that ran student organizations. And it's funny because I don't think I ever sort of stepped up and asked to be a leader. I just think I was the guy with the biggest sense of outrage at the injustice or the perceived injustice of what
was
happening.
Yeah, but why would they follow you? Because people don't follow angry people, except when there is so much pathology running around the place. But they weren't all crazy. You were objecting to things that you had a certain quality that people took to in some way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't your anger.
No, I think that even though it was anger, I was acting. I delivered things. So I never just got angry. I did something about it.
And you were never out of control.
And I was never out of control. Yeah. Always controlled. But really, you know, getting stuff done, getting the right people involved, setting up. Well, anything that needed to be done was done, and if someone dropped something, I was the guy who picked it up and did it because I was afraid nobody else would do it, so I would do it. But it was such a wonderful memory when you talked about it for me, because it just brought me back to a time that I just don't feel I have in my life, like the passion of it and the freedom of it, and the camaraderie of having those friends around you and stuff. All of that, all of those things just came flooding back, and I just thought to myself, well, gee, you know, what happened?
Yeah, well, que pasó? You know, what happened? And here becomes the question, is it possible to find it? And of course it is. There are places all over the world that need the qualities of you, John. They need what you have to offer. You know, when you have qualities like you do, there are places, volunteer places where you could go. Let's say it doesn't have to pay off, but you could organize anything. You could organize letters to Santa Claus. You could, and it would have meaning the way you do it.
Yeah.
The opportunities are so much so.
Yeah. I miss it.
Well, I guess you're going to get back to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just wanted to call and say that because it just brought up such a wonderful memory for me.
Nice to connect with you again, John.
Likewise.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, this is Armand Amelia on the air.
Hey, Armand.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good. Who is this?
Gene.
Hello, Gene.
So I've often had real difficulty around leadership in my life.
Your own or other people's?
Both. Absolutely, yeah. Because I think from a young age I resented leadership, or following for that matter, either one.
Mm-hmm. See, you're your own kind of guy. You generally tended to stay private.
Yeah, I would tend towards that.
That's the only way to do it after a while. You know, if you can't follow and you can't lead, you just invent your own life and you live in your own kind of world. And that's one way, but you must be lonely.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, I don't have a problem with most forms of, you know, occasional leadership like you come across on the job or things like that. I can deal with it, but I don't like it, you know.
And what would take...
I would rather people be independent and, you know, kind of keep up their side of the team, so to speak.
So let me understand this, John. I'm sorry, Gene. Gene, your mother... was in some way intimidated by your father?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that's hard for me to say, but possibly, yeah.
Well, tell me if it's hard to say. You saw it as a kid. How did your mother do standing up to...
I mean, it went back and forth. You know, it's hard to say that one was more intimidated by the other.
You mean they went back and forth just raging at each other?
No. I mean, only sometimes.
Because there's some part of you that wanted... to see people hold their ground. And you never got it as a kid. As a kid, you never got a model of what it would be to be a parent, a true leadership parent. You know, kids look up to their parents and they say, parent, show me some strength. Not the kind of strength that has you hitting somebody or something like that. Show me the strength of your will.
Well, and my parents were from the World War II generation. I read something about Alzheimer's that kind of reminded me of my mother, that they linked it to people who kind of postponed their own agenda, you know, and I think women of that generation did a lot of that. You know, they gave up a lot. So
your mother gave up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's impossible for me to say, but I think in some ways, yeah, maybe she did.
Yeah, so you wish in some way your mother had not given up. That's what I was saying a little earlier. You wish in some way, now that you look back, that your mother had kind of grabbed on and said, no, I'm going to fight to have what I need. And it's taken some place inside you. It's taken a little place inside your heart where you even forgot that this battle is about what you perceived as a child. So now the way you are in the world is anybody who's got any authority, they're automatically become a target, you know?
Well, what I tend to do more is sidestep those people.
Sure.
You know, to me that's like a game, and I just, you know, I've even said to people, you're playing a game with yourself, and I'm not part of it, you know, so I just move on, and it's...
And what do you wish you could do? What do you wish would be different? Because if you sidestep everybody who's got any leadership qualities, then you never become part of a family. Because there'll always be a leader there.
But it's an interesting thought. But I tend towards the view that leadership is merely a function. It's not a status. You know, it's not.
Good point.
So, to me, it's just something that needs to get done to make things easier. But it's not something that should become like the basis of superiority.
Sure, absolutely. Back to the family. But what about you as a leader? What about you as somebody who becomes the guide, somebody who takes care of people, somebody who leads people? Do you sidestep your ability to do it? Look, you're exactly what I was talking about. You're Yavis. You got young, attractive, verbal, intelligent, successful kind of guy. You're a guy who has got all the qualities of being a teacher. Do you sidestep yourself?
All the time. Yeah, I've even had people try to get me to lead, and you know, I want to find every way to not do that.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Gene, do you ever think of doing something about this and changing it now? Because you could change it by doing any kind of volunteer work.
Yeah, well, here again, I take the position that the best way to lead is by acting, you know, by example.
Uh-huh.
Creating something that can't be denied, you know, not making it about you, but about the work.
Sure. So do you do that?
I try to.
Good.
I sidestep that too sometimes.
Sure. I understand. And I appreciate your honesty. But I would say that there's a place that you could do it even larger. And I think one of the beauty of doing volunteer organizations, when you do volunteer stuff, especially with people who have significant challenges, it gives you a chance to be leader without being seen. You don't have to be seen. And it helps your heart. It helps you grow. It brings you into the humanity of it all. So I appreciate your efforts, Gene, and thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Hey, Gene, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Since I'm the radio host, I'm a kind of authority, aren't I? Aren't I kind of a leader?
If you see it that way, I suppose. You know.
No, but don't you see it that way? Radio host?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, it's
because you didn't sidestep me.
It's an image. It's not...
Sure.
You know, more than that.
But you don't feel like you have to sidestep me, right?
No, not necessarily. I don't necessarily have to sidestep one. It may just be the thing to do at the time, you know. Sometimes you can tell a leader that they're not really leading. You know, it's all in their mind that they're leading, you know.
Thank you for calling in, Gene.
Sure.
Thanks. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We're taking your calls. Hi there.
Hello, good afternoon, Armand.
Hello, good afternoon. And what's your name?
My name is Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Yes, I experience leadership in my family. My father was absent while he left, and I kind of took over that role, but recently I've been focusing more or less on leadership in my own life and trying to focus my goals and not to be concerned about where I'm going and not so much about what other people is doing.
What's the difference? What have you done recently that made a difference? You kind of looked at it and you said, hey, what about me?
Yes.
Right? Are you an older child?
I am the second.
You're the second. And so did you have a lot of responsibility for the people under you who followed you?
Yes, I did.
How many children followed you?
Two.
Two children. So you helped bring them up, right?
Yes.
And did your parents love you for this?
Yeah, I think we were loved. But I don't think they understood the psychological aspect of how I was experiencing, you know, being the second born, with dad leaving and, you know, my mom trying to balance and work and family life and just trying to do as much as she could.
It's very difficult, Mark, because you didn't get a chance to be a child.
Yes.
You never had a chance to go through your childhood. You were kind of cast into that role of surrogate parent. You know, here you were at this young age, and suddenly, boom, your dad leaves. You lose your dad, you know, and that's terrible in itself.
Mark.
And it must have felt terribly painful. And the way that you dealt with the pain is you went into a fugue state. You went into the state of mind that so many people go into, where you're kind of in a dream. And in this dream, you become an imitation daddy. You know, and you go through life in this kind of a dreamlike state until the time comes when at some age, and maybe it's now, Mark, you say to yourself, wait a minute, I think I'll wake up. I think I'll wake up and I'll approach this differently. I think when I'm giving, I want to make sure that somewhere in here I'm also giving to myself. And at that point, you begin reversing it. Have you felt that shift taking place in you?
Yeah, I mean, it is taking place. It is taking place, but the transition is, it's been a rocky one because I look and I see that I am making the change, but then I seem to have to catch myself going back into this role that I don't think is me necessarily. So I don't want to be the martyr. I just want to, you know, pursue some of my own happiness. And my own goals, whether it's graduate school or what have you.
But, and the martyr. The martyr is the person who leaves himself behind. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's the person who leaves the kid behind. So what you're reminding yourself is you don't want to leave that kid behind anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make you a much stronger and much better leader. And you've got a much better job to do in this world. The biggest job, Mark takes care of little Mark.
Yes.
Thanks for calling in, Mark.
Thank you, Alan.
Sure. This is Armand DeMille with you with A Positive Mind. We're probably going to be starting our fund drive next week. I say that as a fact with a question mark, but it's probably going to happen. And then we'll be tuning in with some special stuff. I think on Tuesday, I'm with you from 1 to 3 o'clock. It's a two-hour special. I'll find something of interest to bring to you, my friends. In the meanwhile, have a wonderful weekend. And if you need to get in touch with me, you could go to Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, at thepositivemind.com. That's where the website is, The Positive Mind. Or to go to WBAI.org, where you will hear a lot of what BAI has to offer in these upcoming weeks. My love to all of you, my friends.